It can be difficult to accept this gospel passage because it cuts to the heart of the American dream. In an age of 401ks, IRAs, and various sorts of savings accounts, an age where most working people dream or fantasize of retiring comfortably and simply enjoying life, how are we to take this? It seems a straightforward condemnation of hoping in the future. Only a selfish fool saves up money and resources when tomorrow death may come. But I'm not sure that this parable is primarily about that, or perhaps about that at all. In truth, I don't think this is a parable about wealth, death, or even hoarding resources. Those are stock images and ideas. Every Jewish parable at the time of Jesus was about death, revealing how a rich man was doing something foolish with his money. But this man isn't foolish for how he uses his money, for building bigger barns, for enjoying the bounty of the earth, or even for his total disregard of the poor, as bad as that is. He is a fool because he imagines himself to be totally alone, because he has completely cut himself off from God and from his neighbors. When the earth gives him a great bounty, an enormous surplus, he does not think to offer thanks to God or even to the many laborers who worked his fields. He does not think about the needs of those around him, those who may have too little food. He does not even think to just throw a party for his friends and family so that they might all rejoice in his good fortune. He only looks to himself and says, "How can I possibly hoard all of this for myself? I am out of room to store my possessions." The mere idea that other people even exist does not cross his mind. And then he dies. At the moment of death, the rich man receives a sobering dose of reality. He comes face to face with God himself, God, who is a trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a God who is relationship. This encounter strips the man of his delusions. It reveals his foolishness, because even God is not singular. God is not alone, and he did not make us to be alone. We are made to be in relationship, both with God and with others. The very nature of God as a relationship among three persons is imprinted upon us. That is what we mean when we say that we are created in the image of God. We are made to share who and what we are with others, to love others, to converse with them, to share our lives with them, and to receive that in return. And we can't be anything else. The rich man's foolishness was to deny his own nature as a person in relationship with others. So let us avoid this temptation. Whether because of an excess of possessions that gives us the appearance of self-sufficiency, or the harsh words of family and supposed friends, anything that causes us to think that we are singular, that we are totally alone, that our lives and decisions don't matter to others, is an illusion. It is an evil trick, because we are not alone and our lives do matter. We are created in the image of God, and we have been made participants in the divine life itself. God imbues our every action with meaning and purpose. Through his grace, he has made us co-creators, co-builders of his kingdom. Everything that we do, even the smallest of tasks, either builds up or tears down the kingdom of God, a kingdom which is overflowing with people. So we cannot approach life like the rich fool, looking only to ourselves. We are to look outside ourselves, to God and to our neighbor. When we have received abundantly from God, we shouldn't look at ourselves and say, "Self, how big a wall can I build to keep these gifts just for me?" Rather, we say, "God, thank you for your many blessings. How can I show your generosity to others?" And on those days when it seems as if everything has gone wrong, or we are at the end of our rope, exhausted and seemingly alone, we cannot turn in on ourselves and wallow in misery and pity. Rather, we can turn towards God and we can pray, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" And like Jesus on the cross, we may have to endure it for a little while, but we will soon know the comforting presence of the Father and his holy people.